Good morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a joy to be here today. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord, and it's a beautiful day to be together with a church family. And I always get amazed at the blessing of church family, the blessing of more members, talking about taking members in next weekend. It's exciting. It's a part of church life that thrills me. And I also, too, want to welcome all of our visitors this morning. It's good to have you here, and also just I can't help myself, but it's just really good to see Caleb and Belinda, all the ways from Peru, and is it Ashland? Just incredible to see y'all here today again, and yeah, God bless you for your service. Last Sunday, turn on your Bibles to I think our text is going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but last Sunday we was in Ohio, and visiting my wife's family there. Her sister lives there. And after church on Sunday, they announced that there was a singing there in their community they was going to attend. And it was at a detention center. And I wanted to go along with him and to see what this was about. The children were not allowed to go, so it was just me and my brother-in-law went. So I didn't really think about what it was until I got there, but it was a juvenile detention center. And as we filed in there, it was a good-sized group of us, probably 20 people. And it was in a decently sized room with extremely good acoustics. And we filed in there, and they had these boys sitting on chairs. And as I stood there and looked at them, I realized how young they were. Like Tyler would have fit right in there with them, this front bench here. 12, 13, 15, up to 17 years old. And I almost had to quit singing as I thought about these children in this detention center. There was 13 of them there. Some of them looked very, very sad. Some of them had a hollow look in their face that will probably stick with me for a long time. And some of them were just like an ornery little three-year-old. Happy, couldn't hold still, always doing something with their hands. There was just a variety there. After we had a little service there, we sang quite a few songs, shared the gospel with them, and then we went around and talked with them, shook their hands, visited, and they were normal children that had an interest in you if you had an interest in them. And they talked to you, and they asked you questions, and it was an interesting time to be there. Now, I was talking with the chaplain there, the one in charge, afterwards. He'd been involved there for 20 years. He said, there's more back the hall. He said, they could hear the singing. He said, we couldn't let them out here. He said, some of them back there are facing murder charges. This front bench row up here. And that shook me pretty bad. You know, what's it going to take to change the path that these young men are on? Will time at this detention center help them? And I think we probably all know the answer. It's only through Christ that they can change their path. Statistics prove to us that there's a high probability that these are career criminals. That's statistics outside of Christ. And we're going to pray for these 13 boys that they find the Lord and they find the power to change. And that is the title of the message this morning, is the power to change. As you think of change in your life, is there something in your life that you wish that you could change? I'm not going to make a list of the things that I would like to change up here because our board's not big enough. But as you reflect on your life, I'm not 40 yet, I'm almost 40. As you reflect on your life back over the time since you could make decisions, or maybe since you accepted Christ, what changes would you have made? Reflecting now, back on your life, knowing what you know now, what changes would you have made? Political campaigns are won on the promise of change. The Apostle Paul has some, I was going to say disturbing words. I don't know if that's correct to say. Turn with me, hold your hand here at Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to me to Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul has some words here that jumped out at me again that are, maybe they're just real, I don't know. Romans 7 verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." We find ourselves in life sometimes needing to change. Wanting to change, yet continuing in verse 19 here of Romans 7. The power to change. Paul also wrote a letter to Ephesus. And I love, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." And that's you and I this morning. Praise God for that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17 is where we're going to break in here. As we think about the power to change. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off according to the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Verse 26, "Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So how can we change this morning? How can we find a new path in life when we find out or when we realize that we need to change? Verse 20 here says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." Have you ever thought about what it would have been like to be on this earth when Jesus was? To follow him around as Zacchaeus did, and do whatever it takes to have a meeting face to face with Jesus. Ask him questions. Tell him about your life and your story. Ask him how he would handle this situation or that situation. That would be an incredible opportunity to gain some very valuable knowledge. For anything you'll ever face. We're going to look at three passages, and then before we come back, or at least three, before we come back to our texts, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Some exciting words, some powerful words. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. "For the grace of God hath appeared For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, teaching you, teaching me, that if we do this, we will be purified unto God, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And then one more in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse number 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. We sing the song, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. Wouldn't that be wonderful to actually be able to do that? Well, friends, this morning, God has not left us without the words of Jesus. And I can't tell you enough, especially maybe, well, it's for all of us, but young people, youth, spend time with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in Bible study. Spend time at church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. Spend time with God as your teacher. Learn from him. We have two or three school teachers here this morning, and they could tell you what it's like to teach a child how to read and to write and to do algebra. Can we go into the Word of God as a student and be taught by Jesus, by our teacher? You know, we can read a lot of articles. We can research a lot of beliefs. We can look at a lot of statistics. And they're not all wrong. We can talk to people. We can call someone on the phone and ask them advice on a matter. And that's not all bad. But God's Word needs to be our rule and our guide. It needs to be our teacher if we're going to truly change. We can dim the effect, or we can make some of the problems in our life a little bit less. But the only way to have power to change is to heed and follow the Word of God in its entirety. Psalm 1:1, let's say it all together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The counsel of God is laying on your lap this morning. It has the answers of life. And I cannot overemphasize that. Verse 2 says, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We have seen a lot of beautiful timber in our lives. We have, maybe some of you have been to the redwoods, or even in Florida. I love the live oak trees here. The tremendous power of a live oak tree, yet we often see them fall over, fall down, walk through the woods. I didn't know that tree fell down. You know, that's you and I without the Word of God in our heart. It matters, back in verse 1 that we quoted together, it matters where we go to find our counsel. May we not find ourselves standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Every time we open our Bibles, whether it's in our personal devotions, whether it's at church or at school, it is another opportunity to be taught by Jesus. It's an opportunity to be changed by Jesus. It's a shield for the battle. It's a sword for the fight. And it needs to be a pillar in our life. What does Jesus want us to learn? What does Jesus want me to change? What standard of holiness am I not living up to? As we go to the Word daily, looking for help, looking for change. Back to our text here in Ephesians 4. In verse 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This verse speaks of forsaking sin. It speaks of you and I needing to do something. We need to be active in this putting off the old man. We know that the wages of sin is death. We know that sin separates us from God. But the Word of God that you hold in your hands today tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want change in your life, start off with making sure there's nothing separating you from God. Look to your teacher. Read in His Word. Believe in faith, the power of forgiveness. So what area may come to your mind? Maybe it's something really big that you have completely fell off the wagon. Maybe it's something small. You know, if we're free to confess to God, we can change, whether it's big or whether it's small. We can get the power to overcome and to live in victory only through Christ. Paul says to put off. It is a choice. We have a part to play. Yet we can only do that if we find the power through Christ. I'm going to take us to James chapter 5. It's a well-known verse, but it's so precious and it's so hard. It's difficult. It hurts, but it's so necessary. James 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." This thing of opening our lives and confessing to each other something we cannot get on top of in our personal life. It is so hard. It takes so much humility. But it's only through Christ that we can have the power to stand up and say, "Brethren and sisters, help me. I need help." We all deal with the flesh. Satan tempted Jesus. We studied in our Sunday school lesson. 3 times in succession. Satan is after you. He's after me. He wants to trip us. If we can just simply be open to our church family, to each other, in every, be an open book. It says you may be healed, you may be changed, you may be able to move forward. And let's also take up the challenge of praying for each other in the battle. We all are fighting. Jason and I have been chosen to preach. But brethren and sisters, this morning, we have to fight to live in victory. Satan wants our soul. If he can get me to do something in pride or something in lust, He's got a handle in our church. Pray for us. Pray for each other. Verse 23, we continue here with some teaching. It says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this thought of being renewed talks about change, renovation, reform, something different. Dave Holly, I believe, is fixing to put a roof on his house. He's got to tear off some shingles, maybe fix some plywood, and put some new back on. Or metal, I'm not sure what he's going to do. Shingles, I believe it is. Renovation, change. The spirit of our mind. If I was to take a raise of hands of who all here this morning are spirit-driven people, how many would raise their hand? Am I a spirit-driven person? Well, friends, this morning you are. The question is, by what spirit? That is a sobering question. And it's a question we got to ask personally. What spirit is driving me? When we think about a renovation project or an idea of reform or change, it's obvious there's something that needs to be changed. Dave's not going to put a roof on his house because it don't need it. It needs it. He can't get insurance. David cried out to God in Psalm 51 and he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And we know the story of David. He had sinned grievously and he was in bad shape. Probably wasn't sure if he was going to get forgiveness for the gravity of his sin. As we consider the spirit that drives us or controls us, what about my life? Do I need a renovation? Are the pressures that I'm facing a little bit too high? Has something filtered into my life causing me to be weak and sickly? Romans chapter 12 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing or changing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Thank God for change through the blood of Jesus. Thank God for renovation projects in our lives and in our hearts. When we are changed or transformed and our minds are renewed, that is a renovation that is real and lasting. We're going to have to continue here. We're going to run out of time. Verse 24. "And you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Thank God we can be put on a new person, a new man that God has created, a change that God has created, a new start. We sometimes see on a church sign, you know, "Thank God for U-turns." That is real this morning, friends. We can turn around and go the other way. We can do a U-turn. Put on the new man gives us the thought of a change of what we wear, a change of what we are. New, clean. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Change. When we think of righteousness and true holiness, that is a result of a new man or a changed man, a new start. Created gives us the idea of being a manufacturer. Some of you are builders. You put things together. You make a pretty structure and you sell it. God is creating us through change. We are mortal man. We do need to change. The question that came to me as I studied this was, am I allowing Christ to fabricate, to manufacture me? What does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? Does my character and my actions speak of a person who has been changed? Maybe get a little more practical. Many times we wish we could undo something we did. Is that correct? We would like to change something we did. Undo it. I just wish it never happened. Maybe it's our words. Maybe it's our tone. Maybe it's an action. Maybe we actually, I don't know, hit somebody. We can't undo what we've done, but we can change. And that is very, very exciting to me. It moves into some parts of integrity here in verse 25. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Honesty and integrity. Lying, I read in Revelations this week, I read a couple different scriptures. Over and over again, it mentions lying will not be in heaven. And those that willfully lie, or lie for a living, or lie intentionally over and over again, will not be there without confession and repentance prior to death. The Bible's clear. So we are people of integrity. We do not tell the untruth. We're taught from little up not to lie. Yet we find ourselves, I find myself, maybe embellishing a story to make it better or worse, or maybe simply not representing the whole picture. Okay, it's not a willful lie, maybe-ish. But when it comes to lying being mentioned, I don't know how many times, but it's at least three, that those that willfully lie will not be in heaven. Our integrity, our honesty needs to be real. And sometimes it needs to change. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth. And it says, for we are members one of another. We are a part of a body of Christ, of one another. We are a family. We have a relationship. And we need to be honest with each other. We need to be honest to God. Verse 26, this one stings. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, anger is something we struggle with. And God knew that we would struggle with it because He gives us teaching on it. He gives us direction on it. And He gives us courage to change. Be ye angry and sin not. You know, there are many, many people who would give anything to undo what they've done in anger. That's why it behooves us as parents to teach our children at a young age to get a hold of anger and realize only by the help of God that we can change. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Think about this with me. "Slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Friends, this morning, this is a plan to keep your anger in check. Slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to hear. I said it in the wrong sequence, but you understand what I'm saying. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." If we're slow to react, probably a high percentage of the time, we won't respond in anger. If we do respond in anger, make it right. Call someone. Say, "Look, I'm sorry. I was upset. I said the wrong thing." Ask for forgiveness, even if it's your family, or a church brother, or somebody you dealt with, a customer that did you wrong. It says to not let the sun go down on your wrath. The idea that I think is here is make it right away. Don't wait. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a house to live in. Don't give him a yard to walk in. Don't give him a sidewalk to slink up. Be on guard. Be careful. And watch and pray. If we want to change, God said, and I thought about this in our Sunday school lesson this morning. You know, we was talking about the power of the devil, and yes, the devil is powerful. But God says, if you draw nigh to him, what's he going to do to you? He's going to draw nigh to you, and nothing can keep that from happening. That's change. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you and walk with you and help you wherever you need it. Verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, they may have to give to him that needeth. And I simply think this is just being faithful and being called to do what God has called us to do. Whether you're here and you're single, whether you're a young lady, a young man, grandparents, whatever, be faithful where you're called. But if you're here this morning and you are an employee, an employer, a owner, a manager, whatever, sometimes we need to change our priorities, our model, what we are as a company to be what God would have us to be. And verse 29 kind of leads us into that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In our men's meeting, it's Friday night, we discussed this. In part, we do become, in part, who we're around, or we have the temptation to adopt lifestyles and practices. What we say, what we don't say, how we feel, how we think about things. Be faithful. Yes, we have to provide for the needs of our family. Yes, we have to give to those in need. Do we need to change our priorities in our businesses or our jobs? Oh, the words that proceed from our mouths sometimes. And y'all know me well. You know I like to talk, and I like to talk too much. But what I say and how I say it matters. Do I need to change? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's none. That's zero corrupt communication. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Think about your words that come out of your mouth ministering grace to anybody you might meet. My words and how I say them have the ability to break down or build up those around me. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Start anew. Get rid of it. Change. Throw it away. It has to go. To be followed with verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. A new start, a change, a new piece of paper, brand new, brand new. Yes, there is the law of sowing and reaping. I don't want to end up on a negative note. We are responsible. Sometimes there's things that happen before we change. Yes, the prison cells are full of people that have found, I say full, there are people that have found the Lord and made a change after some grievous sin. But it is, while we're here today, it's never too late to start again. It's never too late to change. It's never too late to reach out to God for the power to change. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 21. Revelations 21 and verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And verse 2, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Can you imagine hearing them words? Behold, I make all things new. You know, if we follow the Word of God and allow it to change us to be the person God would have us to be, we can with joy look forward to the time when all things will be new. Yesterday, Brother Willie posted a song, and I wish I could find the lyrics to read it to you, but I listened to it a couple times and got a few phrases here. But in this song it says, You and I here this morning are just a heartbeat from glory. A heartbeat. The song speaks of living on the border of eternity every day. And then it went on to say, just a tender little heartbeat till we walk the golden shore. This morning, if you want change, cry out to God. Make it known. Talk to somebody. There is power available to everyone. When Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, and rose again, the bonds of sin were broken. The power to change was born. May you reach out and simply accept that provision and be a changed people that bring honor and glory to our risen Lord. May God bless you each today. Shall we stand for prayer?